There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey,
welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy NBA draft eve to all who celebrate.
To all who celebrate the NBA draft. Oh, man. How excited are you? Level of 1 to 10, where are you at right now?
13.
You're at a 13?
I was on the phone until like 2 in the morning last night.
Okay, and this is like, what is next year's draft going to put you at?
47.
You're going to be the Stan Marsh meme like for a week straight? Mm-hmm. In front of your computer?
My wife knows what happens like during transaction periods like this.
We need to get Danny's face on top of the Stan Marsh for next year's draft, sitting in front of his computer.
I have a new thing now. I go out on when I'm on the phone. I go so I don't drive her crazy. I go out on the deck, and
you just pace back and forth. Yeah. I'm a big pacer.
Yeah,
I think that means you're getting old when you start pacing on the phone. You know,
I get my steps in. Yeah, that's what it is.
So you're gonna just give us all the details of all the conversations that you had?
Oh, no, not yet.
Oh, man.
Fuck! Do it! Yeah. I'll dive into Intel stuff tomorrow, ahead of the draft, when I've got more confirmation on stuff.
Okay.
There's a lot going, not just for the Blazers, there's a lot going on in the NBA world, and what teams are looking at. Now you're starting, the picture's becoming more clear, because the smoke screens are starting to fade away, and you're having a better understanding of what teams are trying to do and what teams are trying to accomplish in kind of general terms. Now that the teams have kind of checked in with each other, so it's fun. I love this time of year. It's very, very fun. You're like chasing a coked up rabbit.
I mean,
that's what you're trying to do.
All right, that's a visual.
That's what I mean. You're like, you're always chasing it, and it's just like, man, all over the place.
Okay. Well, I'm excited too, and I meant this yesterday, and it sucks. I know Joel, he commented on the YouTube stream. He's like, no, this sucks being at this point of a franchise, but you got to look forward to where you're at and what you're doing as a fan, right? Or when the Portland Trailblazers are in a full-blown rebuild mode, this is the most exciting time for Blazer fans right now.
It legitimately, I mean,
because when the games start,
it could be rough.
It's
could be rough.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that is also, folks, by design right now. And like, that's the hardest part of reframing and kind of reprogramming yourself of this is what a majority of basketball teams go through over not 20-year runs.
No.
I mean, Portland went to the Portland Trailblazers were relevant for 21 consecutive years.
It wasn't just like, oh, they kind of made the playoffs. They made multiple deep runs.
And then it was quick turnaround, and that was the age of the NBA, where you could turn things around relatively quickly. The collective bargaining agreement has made it tougher to make a quick turnaround, but it makes it easier to get back to relevancy for teams that were bottom feeders and not in Portland's position. But you do have to tear it down.
We're sportsing real hard right now. But
I know.
But I will say this. Remember when the CBA was ratified and signed? I go, this is gonna kill a lot of teams. It is killing a lot of teams. Yeah. And it might be more problematic for small market teams than large market teams, because one of the things that small market teams kind of had going for them is that if they wanted to compete financially, they could. If they had, for whatever reason, if they had an owner, like, mm-hmm. OKC wasn't going to do that because Clay Bennett is a broke boy. He's worth, like, I want to say maybe a billion.
What a bum, dude.
But, I mean, when you're talking about cash flow, you can't have, like, Ballmer's worth $140 billion.
Can't keep up with that.
That's different. Like, but if you had an owner who was just willing to say, screw it, we're going to pay the luxury tax payments, you could.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't exist. And you essentially have the owners. This is how I know the owners won this handily. The players got the thing the players have is they can dress how they want and they can smoke weed. And what they gave up was a hard cap, essentially. Good job. Great job.
Hey, they did it.
Great job. You did it.
Like, they did it.
They got handled. And nobody wants to say it because everybody's, you know, relationships with players and agents and former players. Like, the players got annihilated in that CBA.
Okay. But this is where it goes back to, did it affect their day-to-day and how they operate?
The NBA or the players?
The players. The player, and this is from the player's perspective. Like, they took the short win because are they going to get paid more money? Is the top end players that have the most pull in the NBA, are they getting paid more now?
No.
Well, they are.
Percentage is there, but the TV rights is going up. So they're getting more.
Players will get paid more. Mm-hmm. They get to smoke weed if mm-hmm. they want to, if they partake.
Yes.
And that affects their day-to-day. Is like, hey, things are going well for us on the day-to-day.
Yeah, let's see what it looks like when they go do their contracts.
Now all of the fans are like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a lot harder for our team to be good again.
Yeah. It's not only it's hard to keep your guys, and if guys want to get paid. Because, look, this is the dirty little secret about professional sports. As much as everyone talks about, oh, I just want to win. I want to be in a place that allows me to be me. They want to get paid.
Paid.
And what this means is the parity is going to go way up because people are going to look around and go, you can't give me the money, so screw it. I will go to Minnesota for a max deal because they can offer it. I will go to Memphis for a max deal because they can offer it. I will go to Portland because they have enough room to do something that somebody else doesn't do. Like, that's the thing. It's like, the other side of that is, I don't think we're ever going to get the free agent maxes anymore. That was a bad example of, like, the maxes, but, like, having more money because of the salary floor. So it's, they are curbing player movement like a mother. And I think it might end up driving up the middle class again, but you're also now going to have some, like, those bloated $20 million deals for guys that should not be getting them.
To that point, I was just talking about in my update, OG Anunoby looking to, after he opted out of that $20 million salary
next year.
I mean, literally a 12-point per game average over his career, and we're talking about $35 million possibly for OG? Yeah.
Possibly? No, it's getting it.
Yeah, he'll get
New
it.
York's
because
New York's going to lock themselves in during the title window.
But
it's too much money for him.
But also, OG, 12 points per game is very skewed because of everything else he brings to the floor.
That's true,
right?
But he's, like, also missed a lot of time.
He misses 20 games a year.
20 games a year?
That's how it goes. But he's also probably the best point of attack wing in the entire NBA. He blows up opposing offenses.
It would have been nice to have him here.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like if only they would have had an opportunity to draft him.
Yeah.
Well, if only.
I mean, Kristaps Porzingis was had for pretty cheap last offseason, but I digress. So,
but that's the thing, though. Championship windows, mm-hmm. players are just going to jump at that.
Yep, of course.
And then, because it will turn into more of an NFL model. Remember, what was it, Martellus Bennett? After they won the Super Bowl, he goes, I'm happy because guys that win Super Bowls get paid, right? You get paid when you win a Super Bowl. That we're going to start seeing that in the NBA. where guys are sitting there and they're like, well, you get that ring, you get paid. The cachet comes with it. Now, it isn't just the Supermax qualifiers of all NBA, all defensive, all rookie, winning individual awards. It is turning into, it'll be like, you get that bag once you get that ring. You have that cachet that comes with it.
And that's what's going to be interesting is the guys who, they win a title and then go, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then go get cashed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a little bit different in the NBA because the NBA with Bird rights, I thought were phenomenal for the NBA.
Yeah.
Being
now,
able to keep guys.
Now they're not as, they're still there, special. But like even if you have bird rights, you may not be able to go over to keep a guy.
What are we doing right now? We're talking sports
so hard.
But you're right. Yeah. You're right. It's important.
You know, it is. The Look framework this. For this stuff. And we'll,
Danny's at a 13. He's at a 13 right now. I mean, this is Danny at a 13.
When we come out of the draft, we're only a couple days away from free agency, in which we will dive into this stuff a ton. Yeah. No, the Blazers are not getting a bunch of guys in free agency, but you still need to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And in the future, they might get more. I think that's kind of ultimately your point is they are kind of forced into, not the Blazers, but the NBA, looking at, smaller market teams that are going to be getting these big players later on. Maybe not this year, but 2026, 27, Portland might just secure a big name. I'm not saying it's for sure, but it's possible.
All right. Okay. Well, shoot. We sported way too hard.
So hard.
But at the same time, worth it, because it's an important day. It is NBA Draft Eve.
It is NBA Draft Eve.
If you want to see Giddy Danny, well, okay, not...
Don't use the word giddy with
me. I know, we can't do that anymore.
Josh.
He ruined the word giddy.
Yeah, I know, right?
If you want to see super happy, anxious Danny tomorrow, some would call it giddy, you can come down to 10 Barrel Brewing. We'll be down there tomorrow. This show will be originating from 10 Barrel Brewing tomorrow. NBA Draft Party, baby! As we will be celebrating the first round of the NBA Draft. And we're going to dive deep into all things NBA Draft. And look, who are we kidding? We're going to do it today as well. We've already started with it. And I can't even get to, the pressing issues of the day. Like, hackers have gotten into the Apple... Have you seen this? Apple Vision Pro?
No.
What hackers have done to Apple Vision Pro?
Oh, God.
Nightmare fuel. That's how I wanted to start this show, but we started sportsin'. And you know what? We'll have to get to the Apple Vision Pro. Also, the crossover that nobody asked for is coming to television.
Oh?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good tease.
I am...
Yeah, a lot of ideas in my head.
It is so bad. This one, and we're all going to get roped into it. We all are going to be like, oh God, because your wife is going to say, hey, I've got something for you.
Uh-huh.
I've got something for you. We can share this together. And I already want to gouge my eyeballs out. So that's a tease for today.
There you go.
All right. How about that? Take that for data. What's David Fizdale doing now?
Thought he was an analyst.
He's on somebody's staff.
Oh, okay. Oh, he has an assistant? Like the
take
Clips?
Take that for data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to guess Clips assistant.
Clippers?
That's
a good call. I'll say...
The Suns?
Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
Wait. Like, he just hired by the Suns?
Like,
or
he has been held with the Phoenix Suns.
I think he was held over.
He's gonna be a holdover there?
Yeah. I think Fizz worked with Bud before, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'll be damned.
It's the assistant coaching paths in the NBA. There's a lot of cross-pollination.
Boy, you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong. All right, let's get to it. Let's start with the NBA draft. The Portland Trailblazers, we talked a lot about them yesterday. All of the rumors that are coming out in the mock drafts that were revealed as we started Monday's draft week preparations. What is the best course of action, though, for the hometown team?
Mm.
Let's get to that. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. We ask the question here. Down year in the NBA draft. That conversation has seemed to have stopped over the last couple of weeks, where it's like, there's going to be value. Fits and needs, there's going to be value, huh?
I want to shout out Casey Holdall, who we'll have on tomorrow during the live show.
Holdall.
I want to say back in January, February, when I started kind of pivoting to draft stuff, he goes, I don't care how down this draft is, everybody's going to talk themselves into liking somebody somebody's by the time the draft comes around. It's actually going to be not that bad. He goes, it happens every single year, no matter how good, no matter how bad. And he's right, because that's what ends up happening.
Well, and I would like to have this disclaimer that I've put out a few times now. Fans need to already holster the love the pick, hate the pick, because no matter what the pick is at 7 or 14, we have no earthly idea right now.
Well, there's instances where you can hate the pick.
We have no earthly idea right now, Danny. We have no idea.
When the Blazers traded up for Zach Collins, I immediately hated the pick. Immediately.
Now, that's fair.
With a fiery passion of a thousand suns.
I mean, Edie at 7, I think we could all be okay. All right. We're not in love with that one.
Yeah.
But. Okay, I will say...
There's a very distinct threshold, but it's very hard to get there.
There is a very low chance we should hate the pick or love the pick. The one that's going to bother me more is the people that will try to convince me that whoever they take at 7 will be perfect fit.
Multi-time
insert
All-Star.
Into the starting lineup right away. Day one, going to be the guy. We have no idea. And that leads us to the question of what is the best course of action right now? What do you think the best course of action for the Portland Trail Blazers is as we head into this draft? Is it, you know, make a big swing on the upside? Is it wheel, deal, let's make some trades, let's have player movement all over the place? Is it just take the best player available, because that's where this team has so many holes in so many spots. You just take the best player that's there. What is the best course of action? And I'd love to hear from you, too, at 503-864-6326 or in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/1080AMTheFan.
It's going to be really interesting as it pertains to this draft, because I think as people talk themselves into somebody being better, a guy mattering more or being more impactful or whatever it is, I think the best course of action is to try to set yourself up for the future for something that makes sense. And I've long been a proponent of quote unquote best player available. But I remember talking to a front office executive a couple of years ago that got me to change my mindset on this just a little bit. And I said, I know you guys were looking at, this was at Summer League. I was like, I know you guys were looking at X and you guys ended up doing Y. What if you guys could have gotten both those players? He goes, we just made a decision on one. He goes, we think we liked one more than the other, but when another team took that guy, we ended up going this way. That's why we traded out of that spot. And I was like, okay. Before I could finish, he's like, look, I know everybody wants to say, like, get as much talent as you can, but you have to have some sort of pipeline for that player to get on the floor to try to figure something out. And he's like, the G League helps to an extent, but he also said the G League is just rolling the ball out. There's a lot of just
see every player from the G League ignite.
Yeah. So, and don't get me wrong, the other franchises are run a little bit tighter for sure, but all those guys are trying to make it to the NBA.
Well, and I look, Kristen Peek was awesome yesterday. If you missed that interview, go check it out in the audio vault at 1080thefan.com or in the Odyssey app. But one thing that Kristen said that really stuck out to me was the development of Ron Holland was, this team sucks, I'm just going to get mine.
Yeah. It's a real thing. It's like that's what happened. And I've seen some people say, well, Ron Holland was prolific in the G League Ignite. And I'm like, Mac McClung averaged 27 a game.
And won a dunk contest.
Like,
in the NBA.
Duop Reith, who, look, this is not denigrating WAP. I love the guy. He played one game. One. And went for 37 and 15. And they went, oh, buddy, you're far too good for the G League. Duop Reith, far too good for the G League. Okay?
Mr. Greenlight himself. Anytime he gets the ball in the perimeter, I say, shoot!
I'm just saying, there's levels to this stuff, right? So it was really interesting the way that he framed it. I actually was like, oh, that does make more sense, particularly when you're talking about player development. And then also a lot of that depends on where you draft a guy. Like if you draft a guy 55th, and, you know, unless it's Bronny James, you know, but that stuff matters. So I'm probably 80% best player available, 20% fit. I think what I would like to see the Trailblazers do is have some young guys that make sense going forward. If you're going to make your decision, like whether it's Scoot, whether it's Ant at the one going forward, to me does not matter per se for the rest of the roster, because either way, you're going to want to figure some other stuff out. Shazier, it's your two, right? Okay. Who's your three going forward right now?
Two? I mean, is it Tumani Kamara?
Is he your three, or is he end up kind of being like a 3-4 hybrid? As much as I love Jeremy's always been a guy who, like, you get him here, you pivot out of the Dame stuff, you keep him because you know the TV deal's coming up, you can pay him, and you've got to spend some money anywhere anyways, and having a productive veteran that can knock down threes is a good thing on the floor for the development of the other guys. It opens some spacing. You make moves for him when that move becomes available that makes sense, right? Okay, so you go down that path. So you're not really certain what you want to do there. Is DeAndre Ayton your five of the future?
No.
Could he be? Sure.
Yeah.
But are you absolutely married to him? Is it Victor Wembanyama? No. So you have to make all these value judgments going into this draft about what you can try to do. And for me, I want it to make sense coming out of this, which is either getting a Cody Williams or Tijon Salon. So you've got another wing that you can slide in there that, like, even if it's not perfect, because the shooting's just a desolate wasteland between Scoot, Shea, Tijon. Like, if that's the way you ended up going, at least I can see the framework of, like, what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? And that's where I think things need to make sense. And me personally, at seven, I think Cody Williams is probably the guy that he's the guy that I would go with based on how mocks are going right now. He's the guy I would take. But, that gives you that thing to work with. Scoot, Shea, Cody, two, whoever your center is, DeAndre, or Ant, Shea, you know, Cody, two, whatever that ends up being, that's what kind of makes sense.
And I think what you're saying right now, in especially with this draft and the way that the talent is dispersed in this draft and it not being the top heavy, you got 10 guys that you can say viable players in the NBA, you know, you like next year's draft, mm-hmm. right? What Portland needs to do is you take those flyers on those guys, because right now, whether it is Tumani Kamara or Ryan Rupaire, right? Mm-hmm. The young guys that you have in that 3-4, where are we going to go at the 3 and the 4? Because those are the biggest holes that the Blazers have right now, right? Jeremy Grant aside, Jeremy Grant
is, I mean, he's
solid,
clearly
bona fide.
The two best players on the team right now are Ant and Jeremy. That's, we know that.
Not even close. But that 3-4 is where you sit there and you're like, all right, Portland has we've needed in this city length at the 3 and the 4.
They've not been able to replace Nick Batum since Nick Batum left. Like, Jeremy is like the closest thing to that.
And LaMarcus.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeremy's the best wing/forward they have had since Nick and LaMarcus.
And so you are sitting there and you're going, all right, take those swings at those guys, load them up, and we'll see how it sorts itself out, right? We saw development out of Tumani Kamara last year. We saw at the end of the year, Ryan Rupert was actually getting minutes, and you were going, mm-hmm. okay, you know, we framework. Can see the future of what this looks like. You add a Cody Williams or a Tijan Salam, and you go, okay, now we have more pieces in more opportunities for a hit there. That's where Portland is right now. And I think that that is an okay place to be at this point in the rebuild. Would you have liked to have had your lottery odds go in your favor more? Uh-huh. Yeah. You really would have liked to be in the Rizichet-Sarr conversation.
I don't think that's necessarily as important as it would have been last year had they won the lottery and gotten Wemby. Then we're... but you know what I mean? Like, that's... You're one lottery ball off changing the fortunes of the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that sucks, and that's going to be, you know, the Portland way, the revisionist history of could have gotten him, could have gotten, and this isn't just Portland, this is every fan base. Every fan base in the NBA has those picks where there's a draft where they can go, oh man, we could have gotten him. Didn't get him.
The Lakers passed up on the Jays. They took Lonzo and Ingram.
Yeah.
They had the opportunity to draft Jason and Jaylen.
So did Philly.
Yeah. Both. It's kind of funny. Both teams, both years. 76ers and Lakers in front of the Celtics.
And the Celtics even traded down the Tatum draft.
Yeah.
They're like,
traded back and got something for it.
Who are you going to take? Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can have Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, go for it.
Go ahead. We'll take a little bit from you, and then we'll still get our guy. There will always be those guys. And look, so much of that has to do with, in the NBA draft, fit in where your roster is, right? The location that you go to. And the way that where Portland is right now in building their building blocks for the future, mm-hmm. it's not immediate success. It isn't. Like, everybody, the Bam Adebayo one, that one stings for Blazer fans because there was so many... There was an opportunity to get Bam, right? And he would have been successful here in Portland.
Sure.
But the fit stylistically in Miami also amplified how productive he was. And we don't know if Terry Stotts, his system, the style playing alongside of Dame and CJ, would have made Bam as productive as he has been in Miami.
And would they have allowed him to play the five? Would he have been more of a four? You know, those kind of things.
And those are always the variables that mm-hmm. you can look at and you say, well, look at him. He's really successful there. Well, he's also got different pieces, different talent, different system around him. And right now, Portland is in a spot where there's probably going to be a few guys that go after 7 and even before 14 that are going to be wildly successful in the spots that they land.
Yep. Perfect example. I mean, finding the right spot. Look at Larry Markkanen.
Yeah.
Did not do well in Chicago. Kind of started to figure some stuff out in Cleveland. Then goes to Utah, and I was like, "Whoa!" Now he's a 7-footer who scores over 23 a game on high efficiency and a plus rebounder, and doesn't need the ball.
Yeah. We got feedback coming in on the Vancouver Forward text line, and we have some on the YouTube chat stream at youtube.com/1080am the fan. I want to get to some of them and bounce them off of you as well.
Word.
All right. We'll get to that after Schulte with SportsCenter. All right, 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Forward text line and the YouTube chat. Popping off today, best course of action for the Portland Trailblazers. This text says, I would say swing big with getting Salon. Then where are we at with him? Because we had Kristen Peek on. She did a Salon. We have Salon and Saloon.
Yep.
Is he just gonna go by whatever people want to call him?
I don't know, man. I started calling him Salon at first, and then I had a scout say it's Salon. And I was like, okay, so I went with Salon for a while. And then I had somebody else who I trust go, no, you had it right the first time. So I'm going with Salon.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Anyways, Blazers aren't going to get, I say swing big by getting Salon. Then, even if that means trading up to 8 or 11, get Cody and Salon. So Cody Williams at 7, try to get into that 8-9 range. There's no way I see the San Antonio Spurs passing up the opportunity to get Tijan Salon. At 8.
It depends on what they get it for. It so much depends about what they get it for.
All the Frenchies.
If for whatever reason they get, you know, a wing at 4, I would probably expect them to go guard at eight.
Yeah.
And a name that I've heard, like, Topic is one that I've seen linked there a ton. One of the names that's been rising, you know, not necessarily quietly, but behind the scenes, has been Devin Carter. And
ooh,
I could see
Providence.
Yeah, Devin Carter's an absolute dude defensively. If all of a sudden you have a pit bull at the point of attack and then you got Wembanyama on the back end, oh boy. That's a tough nut to crack.
The Topic one is interesting though, because they don't in San Antonio, they also don't want to be great this year either, because they know what's looming in 2025. And everything is a process, everything is a plan. And that goes with Greg Popovich. That goes with Victor Wembanyama in the way that he prepares his body, mm-hmm. the way that he will hold himself out of games or practices to maintain his body. Like, they are very process oriented. That's not a secret to anybody out there. If they get Topic, though, and he's out for this season, mm-hmm. that kind of plays with what they are kind of looking at, because they're in an interesting situation where they could win right now if they got somebody, because they have Victor friggin' Wembanyama.
And that's the thing, is there's
and salary cap space to spend this year.
There's this in-between world that exists of, do they want to be in the 2025 draft? Yeah, probably. Because Lord knows they've got some kind of witchcraft voodoo draft luck that's insane when generational players come up. Like, if somehow they, like, everyone's like, what if they got Cooper Flagg? That actually worries me less than what if they got Ace Bailey. What if they got a 6'8" absolute freak guy who could profile as, like, a top-tier scorer in the league?
Yeah.
Because as much as
terrifying.
I have Cooper number one on my draft board going into 2025. No ifs, ands, buts about it after watching him at Hoop Summit. But I think what that Spurs team and most teams in the league need is that number one scorer. And I don't think Cooper's ever going to be that. I think he's a different kind of player. I think he's supercharged Andre Kirilenko, which is why I love him so much. Like, I love weird players like that. They're like, yeah, I can score, but I'd rather just, like, play in the flow of the game and get 20, 10, and 5 and just have you look up at the box score and go, how the hell did he do that?
But, I mean, if hear me out on this. If San Antonio has Victor Wembanyama and somehow Zach Risacher, it falls to them, mm-hmm. and they get him, and then say they get TJ Salam. It would be so perfect to have four Frenchmen and then Cooper Flagg. You could just wave the white flag.
There you go.
And, I mean, it would work for them, you know?
The white flag lineup.
There's so many options that they could have there.
And then they trade for Derek White back, so they actually have the white flag lineup.
The jokes just write themselves at that point, you know?
I like it.
But you're right on that. All right, next text. The Blazers aren't going to win anytime soon by adding role players. Or something with high floors. Take a big swing on someone with potential. Best case, he becomes a star. Worst case, he sucks. And next year, turns into a top pick anyway. How do you feel on that?
I think that's true to an extent. But getting role players is good, too. Because, number one, role players are helpful. And most players in the NBA aren't role players. That's why they rotate out of the league. So if you can get good role players turn into trade pieces, viable trade pieces. Was Mikal Bridges a star when he was traded for Kevin Durant, or was he a really good role player?
He's a really good role
Cam
player.
Cam Johnson, really good role player. Like, you go look at all of the drafts or all the trades that have happened over the years. Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was traded on potential. Did they think he was going to be good? Yeah, they thought he was going to be good. They didn't think he was going to be an MVP.
Hitting on your star matters, but drafting, developing, and trading for those role players is how you build a contender. I mean,
good
look
players.
At just look at the early Portland, those early late 80s, early 90s Portland Trailblazers, right? They had Clyde Drexler, they had their star, but then you go out and you trade for Buck Williams, you get Jerome Kersey, Terry Porter, you know, Kevin Duckworth, Cliff Robinson, like you surrounded him with all of the role players, mm-hmm. and you go, that's how you win, right?
And honestly, I think we're coming back to where you have at most two stars. I think the Celtics are pushing against that a little bit, but as we get into the new CBA, that contract status of that team is untenable. You can't continue to roll with that.
And I think that this is where, you know, they're still waiting for the star. They're hunting for the star. But you've got to fill out everything else to get to that point.
I'm in with you guys on this, actually, pushing back a little bit on what the texter says. I mean, if they can go for Sar, you know, make a big swing, both picks for him, sure, and trade up and do that, absolutely. But more importantly, I think you can't draft a Luke Babbitt. You can't draft an Elliott Williams type of player, as Zach Collins essentially just shooting for the moon and missing. If you get that 7, that 8, you know, guy off the bench, you don't have to pay a guy like Rodney Hood. You don't have to pay Evan Turner $20 million, a way overpay, to come to Portland and be a role player. You nail that in the draft, and they've missed a lot of those opportunities before. So I think that is honestly as important as finding a star.
All right, let's head over to the YouTube stream real quick. Gin and Tonic, great YouTube name. Get Williams or Salon, and then after that, best player available.
I think in the second round, that's typically what you do.
Well, 14. Now. He's saying Williams or at 7, and then best player available at 14.
I think if you're going Williams or Salon, that's kind of going for the swing. And then isn't best player available also kind of a swing?
Yeah, but it's more. I think that best player available is
the more safer
safe
pick. Okay,
is you're going safe there?
Yeah, I'm with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right, Kirk.
Like if Tristan Da Silva's there, yeah. Like, if they got Williams or Salon and the other one's gone at 14 and Tristan's there at 14.
Take that Mike Lynch swinge.
I would not be mad at it. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Kirk on YouTube, Blazers need to trade Brogdon, Williams, Thybulle, Grant in that order this offseason. Next offseason, you try to figure out Ayton. If you were to see four guys traded this offseason, that would be very active.
It would be, but also they don't have to trade them in that order. Like that doesn't make any sense.
I'm assuming he just likes them the least, and he's putting them backwards.
Yeah, I think that's where he's putting his priority. Well, you're going.
Tybalt's not blocking anything.
Robert
like
Williams
plays 20 minutes a night. Like it's. If you find a good deal for Tease, that's fine. But if you
say Time Lord plays 20 minutes a night,
no,
not in Portland.
Tease.
Oh,
yeah. No, and in like I've seen a couple of like the Bleacher Report mock or the fake trades, and they're like a first round pick and something for Time Lord and the 40th pick in this draft, and I'm like, yeah, call it in.
Joel says, I don't care who they draft, but trade Grant, Ant, Brogdon, and start all young guys next season.
No.
To give them tons of experience and likely a top three worst record for the 2025.
That doesn't
draft.
Help anyone. There's a reason why teams don't do that.
Okay.
Playing five young dudes that's how you get the Ignite.
Well, playing five young dudes too stunts development.
Yes.
It stunts development, and when you are just running into a brick wall night in and night out. I mean, that's why I thought it was the savvy moves to bring in guys like Malcolm Brogdon to sign Jeremy Grant to the extension here and him willing to stay is you teach guys how to be pros. You work through a lot of stuff and it keeps you in a lot of games. It really does. And then what we saw the Blazers do was when it was time to lose, those guys
perfectly
were
capable.
In the shadows.
Yeah, perfectly capable of losing when necessary. Very easy to do.
All right, 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line. Personally, due to this draft not being all that great, I say what's best available, especially if the best available players a 6'5 or taller guard. I think a good defender is another option as well. That from Orange Guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they've already prioritized. You can tell with who they've taken. Like, defense has mattered.
Yeah, yeah. All right. A lot of good feedback, including this one that says, the winning formula has been absent since I was in grade school, is what I'm hearing. That early 90s, late early 90s teams. Well, I would say since super teams started forming,
yeah.
I think that's where it took a big kick
Brandon,
to the giblets.
Brandon and Greg's knees was really the
but
last
then
time.
Yeah. I think if you look at the winning formula across the NBA, we can say that it's what Denver did. It's what Minnesota did to get to the point that they're at. It's what the Boston Celtics did to get to that point. I think you look and it's few and far between the teams that have created the super team and end up gone winning. Look, I mean, even Milwaukee, when they won their championship, right? It was draft, develop, fill out the roster with really good role players that you have kind of homegrown in that vein. I think the winning formula is there. It just has gotten a lot harder in the super team era because those, you know, Miami's, Boston, before they went to the rebuild to the Jays, you know, Miami, LA, the Lakers, they were building super teams. That's really stinking hard to compete with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the world of the NBA. All right. Nobody asked for it, but we're getting it. And I'm just getting you guys, start getting your excuses. Maybe we can come up with an excuse together.
Okay.
So we all can avoid this because it's a freight train. It's coming down the tracks, and it's about to hit us all.
Oh.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yeah. I love Wu-Tang Clan. Anytime Wu-Tang comes up, I'm in. I'm in. I miss Wu-Tang Wednesdays. We used to have Wu-Tang Wednesdays. It's now Wrestling Wednesday, which I love. I wish we could have a hybrid Wrestling Wu-Tang Wednesday. Because Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Well,
Wu-Tang for the children.
There's the T and Tang. You could do Wu-Tang Tuesdays. I mean, I'm not the regular producer here, but just trying to throw a little idea out there.
Dude, it just puts me in a good mood. You know, just taking the stage with 21 of your best friends.
can I just trustree it here?
Yeah, sure.
Admit that I did not really know about Wu-Tang or what songs were by Wu-Tang until, like, the age of 22.
That's okay.
So just admitting out there.
Because they do say Wu-Tang is for the children. It's not.
No.
For the children.
And I'm a degenerate, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
Damn right.
All right. We need to be ready. And we all need to kind of crowdsource this. We have to have our out. We have to have our out. It has been announced today that the Kansas City Chiefs are teaming up with Hallmark for a holiday movie.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm actually 1,000% in on this. Please
this
continue.
Is not surprising. Schultzy, count me as a zero on the shocked index here, but Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, is coming to the small screen in front of us. Our wives, our significant others, they will be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line and the YouTube chat. Popping off today, best course of action for the Portland Trail Blazers. This text says, I would say swing big with getting Salon, then... Where are we at with him? Because we had Kristen Peek on. She did a Salon. We have Salon and Saloon.
Yep.
Is he just gonna go by whatever people want to call him?
I don't know, man. I started calling him Salon at first, and then I had a scout say it's Salon, and I was like, okay. So I went with Salon for a while, and then I had somebody else who I trust go, no, you had it right the first time. So I'm going with Salon.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Anyways, Blazers aren't going to get, I say swing big by getting Salon. Then, even if that means trading up to 8 or 11, get Cody and Salon. So Cody Williams at 7, try to get into that 8-9 range. There's no way I see the San Antonio Spurs passing up the opportunity to get Tijan Salon at 8.
It depends on what they get it for. It so much depends about what they get it for.
All the Frenchies.
If for whatever reason they get, you know, a wing at 4, I would probably expect them to go guard at 8.
Yeah.
And a name that I've heard, like, Topic is one that I've seen linked there a ton. One of the names that's been rising, you know, not necessarily quietly, but behind the scenes, has been Devin Carter. And I can see
Providence.
Yeah, Devin Carter's an absolute dude defensively. If all of a sudden you have a pit bull at the point of attack and then you got Wembanyama on the back end, oh boy, that's a tough nut to crack.
The Topic one is interesting, though, because they don't, in San Antonio, they also don't want to be great this year either, because they know what's looming in 2025. And everything is a process, everything is a plan. And that goes with Greg Popovich. That goes with Victor Wembanyama in the way that he prepares his body, mm-hmm. the way that he will hold himself out of games or practices to maintain his body. Like, they are very process oriented. That's not a secret to anybody out there. If they get Topic, though, and he's out for this season, mm-hmm. that kind of plays with what they are kind of looking at, because they're in an interesting situation where they could win right now if they got somebody, because they have Victor friggin' Wembanyama.
And that's the thing, is there's
and this, salary caps based yes. to spend this year.
There's this in-between world that exists of, do they want to be in the 2025 draft? Yeah, probably. Because Lord knows they've got some kind of witchcraft voodoo draft luck that's insane when generational players come up. Like, if somehow they, like, everybody's like, what if they got Cooper Flagg? That actually worries me less than what if they got Ace Bailey. What if they got a 6'8" absolute freak guy who could profile as like a top tier scorer in the league?
Yeah.
Because as much as
terrifying,
I have Cooper number one on my draft board going into 2025. No ifs, ands, buts about it after watching him at Hoop Summit. But I think what that Spurs team and most teams in the league need is that number one scorer. And I don't think Cooper's ever going to be that. I think he's a different kind of player. I think he's supercharged Andre Kirilenko, which is why I love him so much. Like, I love weird players like that. They're like, yeah, I can score, but I'd rather just, like, play in the flow of the game and get 20, 10, and 5 and just have you look up at the box score and go, how the hell did he do that?
But, well, I mean, if hear me out on this. If San Antonio has Victor Wembanyama and somehow Zach Risache, it falls to them, mm-hmm. and they get him, and then say they get TJ Salam. It would be so perfect to have four Frenchmen and then Cooper Flagg. You could just wave the white flag.
There you go.
And, I mean, it would work yeah. for them, you know?
The white would, flag lineup.
There's just so many. There's so many options that they could have there.
And then they trade for Derek White back, so they actually have the white flag lineup.
The jokes just write themselves at yeah. that point, you know?
I like it. I like it.
But you're right on that. All right, next text. The Blazers aren't going to win anytime soon by adding role players. Or something with high floors. Take a big swing on someone with potential. Best case, he becomes a star. Worst case, he sucks. And next year, turns into a top pick anyway. How do you feel on that?
I think that's true to an extent. But getting role players is good, too. Because, number one, role players are helpful. And most players in the NBA aren't role players. That's why they rotate out of the league. So if you can get good role players turn into trade pieces, viable trade pieces. Was Mikal Bridges a star when he was traded for Kevin Durant, or was he a really good role player?
He's a really good role
player. Cam Johnson, really good role player. Like, you go look at all of the drafts or all the trades that have happened over the years. Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was traded on potential. Did they think he was going to be good? Yeah, they thought he was going to be good. They didn't think he was going to be an MVP.
Hitting on your star matters, but drafting, developing, and trading for those role players is how you build a contender. I mean,
good
look
players.
At just look at the early Portland, those early late 80s, early 90s Portland Trailblazers, right? They had Clyde Drexler, they had their star, but then you go out
Seven
and you trade
really
for
good role players.
You trade for Buck Williams, you get Jerome Kersey, Terry Porter, you know, Kevin Duckworth, Cliff Robinson, like you surround. Rounded him with all of the role players, and you go, that's how you win, right?
And honestly, I think we're coming back to where you have at most two stars. I think the Celtics are pushing against that a little bit, but as we get into the new CBA, that contract status of that team is untenable. You can't continue to roll with that.
And I think that this is where, you know, you got to, they're still waiting for the star. They're hunting for the star. But you've got to fill out everything else to get to that point.
I'm in with you guys on this, actually, pushing back a little bit on what the texter says. I mean, if they can go for Sar, you know, make a big swing, both picks for him, sure, and trade up and do that, absolutely. But more importantly, I think you can't draft a Luke Babbitt. You can't draft an Elliot Williams type of player, or Zach Collins, essentially, just shooting for the moon and missing. If you get that 7, that 8, you know, guy off the bench. You don't have to pay a guy like Rodney Hood. You don't have to pay Evan Turner $20 million, a way overpay, to come to Portland and be a role player. You nail that in the draft, and they've missed a lot of those opportunities before. So I think that is honestly as important as finding a star.
All right, let's head over to the YouTube stream real quick. Gin and Tonic, great YouTube name. Get Williams or Salon, and then after that, best player available.
Well, I think in the second round, that's typically what you do.
Well, 14. Now. He's saying Williams or at 7, and then best player available at 14.
I think if you're going Williams or Salon, that's kind of going for the swing. And then isn't best player available also kind of a swing?
Yeah, but it's more. I think that best player available is
the more safer
safe
pick. Okay,
is you're going safe there?
Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah. All right, Kirk.
Like if Tristan Da Silva's there. Yeah, like if they got Williams or Salon, and the other one's gone at 14, and Tristan's there at 14.
Take that, Mike Lynch swinge.
I would not be mad at it. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Kirk on YouTube. Blazers need to trade Brogdon, Williams, Thybul, Grant in that order this offseason. Next offseason, you try to figure out Ayton. I mean, if you were to see four guys traded this offseason, that would be very active.
It would be, but also they don't have to trade them in that order. Like that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I'm assuming he just likes them the least, and he's putting them backwards.
Yeah, I think that's where he's putting his priority. Well, you're going.
Tybalt is not blocking anything.
Robert
like he's,
Williams
he plays 20 minutes a night. Like it's. If you find a good deal for Tease, that's fine. But if you
say Time Lord plays 20 minutes a night,
no,
not in Portland.
Tease.
Oh,
yeah. No, and like I've seen a couple of like the Bleacher Report mock or the fake trades, and they're like a first round pick and something for Time Lord and the 40th pick in this draft. And I'm like, yeah, call it in.
Joel says, I don't care who they draft, but trade Grant, Ant, Brogdon, and start all young guys next season.
No.
To give them tons of experience and likely a top three worst record for the 2025.
That doesn't
draft.
Help anyone. There's a reason why teams don't do that.
Okay.
Playing five young dudes that's how you get the Ignite.
Well, playing five young dudes too stunts development.
Yes.
It stunts development and when you are just running into a brick wall night in and night out. I mean, that's why I thought it was the savvy move to bring in guys like Malcolm Brogdon to sign Jeremy Grant to the extension here and him willing to stay is you teach guys how to be pros. You work through a lot of stuff and it keeps you in a lot of games. It really does. And then what we saw the Blazers do was when it was time to lose, those guys
perfectly
were
capable.
In the shadows.
Yeah, perfectly capable of losing when necessary. Very easy to do.
All right, 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line. Personally, due to this draft not being all that great, I say what's best available, especially if the best available player's a 6'5 or taller guard. I think a good defender is another option as well. That from Orange Guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they've already prioritized. You can tell with who they've taken. Like, defense has mattered.
Yeah, yeah. All right. A lot of good feedback, including this one that says, the winning formula has been absent since I was in grade school, is what I'm hearing. That early 90s, late early 90s teams. Well, I would say since super teams started forming,
yeah.
I think that's where it took a big kick
Brandon,
to the giblets.
Brandon and Greg's knees was really the
but
last
then yeah. I think if you look at the winning formula across the NBA, we can say that it's what Denver did. It's what Minnesota did to get to the point that they're at. It's what the Boston Celtics did to get to that point. I think you look and it's few and far between the teams that have created the super team and ended up gone winning. Look, I mean, even Milwaukee, when they won their championship, right? It was draft, develop, fill out the roster with really good role players that you have kind of homegrown in that vein. I think the winning formula is there. It just has gotten a lot harder in the super team era because those, you know, Miami's, Boston, before they went to the rebuild to the Jays, you know, Miami, LA, the Lakers, they were building super teams. That's really stinking hard to compete with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the world of the NBA. All right. Nobody asked for it, but we're getting it. And I'm just getting you guys start getting your excuses. Maybe we can come up with an excuse together.
Okay.
So we all can avoid this because it's a freight train. It's coming down the tracks, and it's about to hit us all.
Oh.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan. I love Wu-Tang Clan. Anytime Wu-Tang comes up, I'm in. I'm in on... I miss Wu-Tang Wednesdays. We used to have Wu-Tang Wednesdays. It's now Wrestling Wednesday, which I love. I wish we could have a hybrid Wrestling Wu-Tang Wednesday. Because Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Well,
Wu-Tang for the children.
There's the T and Tang. You could do Wu-Tang Tuesdays. I mean, I'm not the regular producer here, but just trying to throw a little idea out there.
Dude, it just puts me in a good mood. You know, just taking the stage with 21 of your best friends.
Can I just trustriate here?
Yeah, sure.
Admit that I did not really know about Wu-Tang or what songs were by Wu-Tang until like the age of 22.
That's okay.
So just well, admitting out there.
Because they do say Wu-Tang is for the children. It's not.
No.
For the children.
And I'm a degenerate too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
Damn right.
All right. We need to be ready. And we all need to kind of crowdsource this. We have to have our out. We have to have our out. It has been announced today that the Kansas City Chiefs are teaming up with Hallmark for a holiday movie.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm actually 1,000% in on this. Please
this
continue.
Is not surprising. Schultzy, count me as a zero on the shocked index here, but Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, is coming to the small screen in front of us. Our wives, our significant others, they will be saying, this is the moment that we can come together. Hey, you love sports. I love Hallmark movies. The Chiefs in Hallmark, they are coming together for one. Okay, here is the synopsis.
I'm really
Hallmark.
Excited about this.
In Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, Alana Higman is sure that her family's lifelong history as Kansas City Chiefs superfans makes them frontrunners to win the team's Fan of the Year contest. Derek, director of fan engagement, is tasked with evaluating how Elena and her family stack up against the other two finalists.
I love it.
As the pair, oh God, as the pair spends time together, it's clear there's a spark between them when their grandfather's, oh God, vintage Chiefs good luck winter hat goes missing. Elena begins to doubt everything she believed about fate, destiny, and even questions her future with Derek. Unless, that is, a little Christmas magic can throw a Hail Mary.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
With Schultzy.
I love it. I'm so excited.
This has got to be stopped.
Okay. The cheesiness of these movies is to a whole new level. I totally agree. But when you've got NFL making its way in, how can you not love that? Come on. Why am I on the other side of this?
No. It needs to be stopped right now. I am already going through my mind of like, all right, how do I get out of this? When this movie, and you know that they're announcing it today. So this means by November, it will be completed. It will be made. It will be scrapped together, duct taped together, and thrown to us by this holiday season.
Well, there's no NFL budget here. This is Hallmark movie budget.
Those, I find myself in this rabbit hole every single winter. We go down it every year. It is my wife and now my daughter, who is 10. She's all in on Hallmark movies, too. My wife has brainwashed her into becoming a Hallmark movie junkie. They're going to be like, but Dad, it's sports. I don't care. It is. Those movies are so infuriating to me. Like, there's people that are like the Gen Zers, they're sitting there like, Seinfeld, it could all just be solved by a text message. Yeah, but they didn't have text messages, all right?
Yeah, come on, get that right out.
Let's get out of here with this. These Hallmark movies take place in, like, current times.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, a simple phone call, a text message, an email, all of it. Every single, a face-to-face conversation with the person that is right in front of them. Everything could go away, and all of these issues could be resolved.
There is a stunning lack of communication. It's true.
In this one, you have the magic good luck hat, which that gets me. That's real. We've all been there. We all have our superstitions. Like, all right, I need to have, when Astros were playing in the World Series, it was the same shirt every time. had to be.
Chiefs win when I wear this hat.
The they grandpa's lose when hat, I, don't. I can get involved yeah. with, like, all right, grandpa's hat got missing. All right. But when your whole world falls apart because of grandpa's hat going missing and you question true love, I'm out. I'm out. We can't. I need to find a way. Danny has the easiest out in all of this because Danny can just be like, I'm not watching that movie. It's called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story. I'm a Raiders fan. I'm not watching this crap.
Easiest way out.
The easiest way possible for you to get out of this, Danny, is by just saying, I'm a Raiders fan. This is Raiders home. We're not going down that road.
We don't allow that terrible propaganda.
The Raiders, Broncos, and the Chargers, for whatever fans I have, those are the ones that you have the easiest out in all this. Mm. It's like, I'm not watching a divisional rival Hallmark movie.
God, no.
For everybody else, though, we're in a pickle. Yeah. We're in a pickle here because it's going to happen. We're going to get cornered by it.
Yeah, no, it's not allowed.
You guys, you're being so dramatic about this. No, I'm the one that brought my wife to Hallmark movies, and I'm going to be showing her this with a big old smile on my face. And would anybody else but the Chiefs be doing it? Come on, Tay-Tay, Travis Kelce. We all know the real reason why this is happening.
Ah, yes, the team that leads the league in arrests this offseason.
Oh, God, no kidding. Yeah,
Hallmarking it up.
They released their defensive lineman, but Rashee Rice, well, you know, we need more information.
The only way that I get into this film is a cameo by Andy Reid playing Santa Claus. If
eating
that,
a cheeseburger.
If that happens, I will watch this movie. But only if Andy Reid is in this dressed as Santa Claus. That's it. And you know why they're doing this. They're going to like probably go, because they have an agreement with the Chiefs, they're going to probably be at a Chiefs game. And all they are hoping for is Taylor Swift is in the stands, and they are going to film this movie right in front of the suite that Taylor Swift is in. So she will be in it for like 15 seconds, and they, because it's in a stadium and they have the agreement on the back of the ticket, they're not going to have to pay Taylor Swift like $1 billion for her likeness to be in the movie.
Mm.
This is in that they're going to rope in the Swifties. It's going to be a Hallmark smash. I know it. I know this to be true. I'm already bracing for it.
Disgusting propaganda.
I don't see an out for me, though. I just don't see it. I just don't see it happen.
You know what, man? I hate to tell you, but every now and then, someone has to hop on the grenade.
We're going to have to do it.
This time, it appears to be you.
We're going to have... Yeah. Yep, we're all going to have to do it. it's going to be on my TV anyway. May as well include football. I'd say that's a great way to look at it. I mean, you have to use that little bit of optimism that you have now.
Yeah, but the football adjacent stuff is always tough. What was that? What was that football TV show? Was it All American? That the quarterback was like throwing like somebody off camera. I was like, eh,
buddy.
Eh.
Yeah,
and it was like,
it's hard.
What is happening here? It's not hard to make football look like football.
It's the best thing Major League did. The movie Major League.
No kidding.
I mean, they actually made it look like
baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I just recently learned that Wesley Snipes actually ran in slow motion in those shots because he wasn't very fast.
And then they sped him up?
Yeah, they had
that makes
little
sense.
Camera trick.
Everybody else has to be very still during the entire... As our resident Chiefs honk, I'm already pissed this Hallmark movie is using the Chiefs as the team. Couldn't they just make up a team?
I think that gets worse.
You know I think you're going to watch worse. It, though. Not just Raider fans. Us Steeler fans won't be watching that BS either.
Mm. See?
I'm a Niners fan. I'm out because Super Bowl losses. Also, Schulte, calling them dramatic is a bit pot and kettle, isn't it?
Wait, what? Really? You're don't state facts as if they're insults to me, okay, people? Thank you. I get it. God. Duh.
All right. We need to prepare yourselves. Mentally prepare yourself how you're going to get out of it, or look on the bright side and just be like, it'll be on the TV anyway. How am I just going to suffer through this?
A Pat Mahomes cameo during a Hallmark Christmas movie will not be the worst thing that you will have to experience.
For
okay?
me, it will be bourbon. That's how I will get through this. And a cameo from Andy Reid.
There you go.
Just
I like
it. Could you imagine how great he would be as a jolly old man, you know, Christmas party for the Chiefs? You know, stealing little chicky nugs.
That'd be funny if instead of leaving out cookies, you left out chicken nuggets.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Little dino nuggies.
503-864-6326. All right. Let's get to hour number two. A bit of an upset. People are big mad about this one.
Oh.
Yeah. How dare you leave my team out of this next on the fan? It's a freight train. It's coming down the tracks, and it's about to hit us all.
Oh.
Danny and Dusty on the fan. I love Wu-Tang Clan. Anytime Wu-Tang comes up, I'm in. I miss Wu-Tang Wednesdays. We used to have Wu-Tang Wednesdays. It's now Wrestling Wednesday, which I love. I wish we could have a hybrid Wrestling Wu-Tang Wednesday. Because Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Well,
Wu-Tang for the children.
There's the T and Tang. You could do Wu-Tang Tuesdays. I mean, I'm not the regular producer here, but just trying to throw a little idea out there.
Dude, it just puts me in a good mood. You know, just taking the stage with 21 of your best friends.
Can I just trust-triate here?
Yeah, sure.
Admit that I did not really know about Wu-Tang or what songs were by Wu-Tang until, like, the age of 22.
That's okay.
So just well, admitting out there.
Because they do say Wu-Tang is for the children. It's not.
No.
For the children.
And I'm a degenerate, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
Damn right.
All right. We need to be ready. And we all need to kind of crowdsource this. We have to have our out. It has been announced today that the Kansas City Chiefs are teaming up with Hallmark for a holiday movie.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm actually 1,000% in on this. Please
this
continue.
Is not surprising. Schultzy, count me as a zero on the shocked index here, but Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, is coming to the small screen in front of us. Our wives, our significant others, they will be saying, this is the moment that we can come together. Hey, you love sports. I love Hallmark movies. The Chiefs in Hallmark, they are coming together for one. Okay, here is the synopsis.
I'm really excited about this.
In Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story, Alana Higman is sure that her family's lifelong history as Kansas City Chiefs superfans makes them frontrunners to win the team's Fan of the Year contest. Derek, director of fan engagement, is tasked with evaluating how Elena and her family stack up against the other two finalists.
I love it.
As the pair, oh God, as the pair spends time together, it's clear there's a spark between them when their grandfather's, oh God, vintage Chiefs good luck winter hat goes missing. Elena begins to doubt everything she believed about fate, destiny, and even questions her future with Derek. Unless, that is, a little Christmas magic can throw a Hail Mary.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
With Schultzy.
I love it. I'm so excited.
This has got to be stopped.
Okay. The cheesiness of these movies is to a whole new level. I totally agree. But when you've got NFL making its way in, how can you not love that? Come on. Why am I on the other side of this?
No. It needs to be stopped right now. I am already going through my mind of like, all right, how do I get out of this? And you know that they're announcing it today. So this means by November, it will be completed. It will be made. It will be scrapped together, duct taped together, and thrown to us by this holiday season.
Well, there's no NFL budget here. This is Hallmark movie budget.
Those, I find myself in this rabbit hole every single winter. We go down it every year. It is my wife and now my daughter, who is 10. She's all in on Hallmark movies, too. My wife has brainwashed her into becoming a Hallmark movie junkie. They're going to be like, but Dad, it's sports. I don't care. It is. Those movies are so infuriating to me. Like, there's people that are like the Gen Zers, they're sitting there like, Seinfeld, it could all just be solved by a text message. Yeah, but they didn't have text messages, all right?
Yeah, come on, get that right out.
Let's get out of here with this. These Hallmark movies take place in, like, current times.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, a simple phone call, a text message, an email, all of it. Every single, a face-to-face conversation with the person that is right in front of them. It could everything could go away and all of these issues could be resolved.
There is a stunning lack of communication. It's true.
In this one, you have the magic good luck hat, which that now that gets me. That's real. We've all been there. We all have our superstitions. Like, all right, I need to have, when Astros were playing in the World Series, it was the same shirt every time. Had to be.
Chiefs win when I wear this hat.
The grandpa's hat, I can get involved with, like, all right, grandpa's hat got missing. All right. But when your whole world falls apart because of grandpa's hat going missing and you question true love, I'm out. I'm out. We can't. I need to find a way. Danny has the easiest out in all of this because Danny can just be like, I'm not watching that movie. It's called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story. I'm a Raiders fan. I'm not watching this crap.
Easiest way out.
The easiest way possible for you to get out of this, Danny, is by just saying, I'm a Raiders fan. This is Raiders home. We're not going down that road.
We don't allow that terrible propaganda.
The Raiders, Broncos, and the Chargers, for whatever fans I have, those are the ones that you have the easiest out in all this. Mm. It's like, I'm not watching a divisional rival Hallmark movie.
God, no.
For everybody else, though, we're in a pickle. Yeah. We're in a pickle here because it's going to happen. We're going to get cornered by it.
Yeah, no, it's not allowed.
You guys, you're being so dramatic about this. No, I'm the one that brought my wife to Hallmark movies, and I'm going to be showing her this with a big old smile on my face. And would anybody else but the Chiefs be doing it? Come on, Tay-Tay, Travis Kelce. We all know the real reason why this is happening.
Ah, yes, the team that leads the league in arrests this offseason.
Oh, God, no kidding. Yeah,
Hallmarking it up.
They released their defensive lineman, but Rashee Rice, well, you know, we need more information.
The only way that I get into this film is a cameo by Andy Reid playing Santa Claus. If that happens, I will watch this movie. But only if Andy Reid is in this dressed as Santa Claus. That's it. And you know why they're doing this. They're going to like probably go, because they have an agreement with the Chiefs, they're going to probably be at a Chiefs game. And all they are hoping for is Taylor Swift is in the stands, and they are going to film this movie right in front of the suite that Taylor Swift is in. So she will be in it for like 15 seconds, and they, because it's in a stadium and they have the agreement on the back of the ticket, they're not going to have to pay Taylor Swift like $1 billion for her likeness to be in the movie.
Mm.
This is in that they're going to rope in the Swifties. It's going to be a Hallmark smash. I know it. I know this to be true. I'm already bracing for it.
Disgusting propaganda.
I don't see an out for me, though. I just don't see it. I just don't see it happen.
You know what, man? I hate to tell you, but every now and then, someone has to hop on the grenade.
We're going to have to do it.
This time, it appears to be you.
We're going to have... Yeah. Yep, we're all going to have to do it. it's going to be on my TV anyway. May as well include football. I'd say that's a great way to look at it. I mean, you have to use that little bit of optimism that you have now.
Yeah, but the football adjacent stuff is always tough. What was that? What was that football TV show? Was it All American? That the quarterback was like throwing like a off somebody off camera. I was like, eh,
buddy.
Eh.
Yeah,
and it was like,
it's hard.
What is happening here? It's not hard to make football look like football.
It's the best thing Major League did. The movie Major League.
No kidding.
I mean, they actually made it look like
baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I just recently learned that Wesley Snipes actually ran in slow motion in those shots because he wasn't very fast.
And then they sped him up.
Yeah, they had
that makes
little
sense.
Camera trick.
Everybody else has to be very still during the entire... As our resident Chiefs honk, I'm already pissed this Hallmark movie is using the Chiefs as the team. Couldn't they just make up a team?
I think that gets worse.
You know, I think you're going to watch worse. Not just Raider fans. Us Steeler fans won't be watching that BS either.
Mm. See?
I'm a Niners fan. I'm out because Super Bowl losses. Also, Schulte, calling them dramatic is a bit pot and kettle, isn't
it? Wait, what? Really? You're don't state facts as if they're insults to me, okay, people? Thank you. I get it. God. Duh.
All right. We need to prepare yourselves. mentally prepare yourself how you're going to get out of it, or look on the bright side and just be like, it'll be on the TV anyway. How am I just going to suffer through this?
A Pat Mahomes cameo during a Hallmark Christmas movie will not be the worst thing that you will have to experience.
For
okay?
me, it will be bourbon. That's how I will get through this. And a cameo from Andy Reid.
There you go. Just I like
it. Could you imagine how great he would be as a jolly old man, you know, Christmas party for the Chiefs, you know, stealing little chicky nugs?
That'd be funny if instead of leaving out cookies, you left out chicken nuggets.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Little dino nuggies.
503-864-6326. All right. Let's get to hour number two. A bit of an upset. People are big mad about this one.
Oh.
Yeah. How dare you leave my team out of this? Oh. Next on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.